You know, if you'd have told me when I was 17 and called into the ministry, or if you'd have told me when I started as a pastor in 1991, that in 2021 I'd be standing in this place with a music minister from Brazil singing a song from Indonesia, and a congregation with people from around the world, I would not have understood it, much less known how to embrace it and celebrate it. But I stand here today as someone who's extremely grateful for what God has brought us through and brought us to. And I'll be saying that some more in the coming weeks and some more in later comments today. I want you to know, today is the actual day I started work officially. May 16th, 1991 was my first day as the senior pastor. And this will date me a bit, of course, but when you're preaching a series on having been a pastor for 30 years, when you've mentioned the fact that you're over six decades of age old, right, of six decades of life, there's no real hiding the age factor. And it kind of makes me mindful of the song that Bob Hope used to always sing at the end of his shows, right, for the troops. He would always sing, "Thanks for the Memories." And he'd sing it at the end of the show, even when he knew there was going to be a show probably the next night in another city. And I'm reflecting on today wanting to say thank you for the memories, while also being very aware that there's a service next Sunday. I've already begun working on that sermon. And so we think about this very challenging moment that we've just come through, these 15 months of pandemic life and the struggles that that presents for the world, for people, and for churches. And yet, I'm so excited about our future, as indicated by these two great guys today and their families and just the whole connections there about what God has for Pathways Future. I'm excited about that. And I want you to hear me say sincerely that I am truly grateful for each and every member of our extended church family from the first day until now. There, folks, let's be clear. There is no shepherd without a flock. There's no general without an army. There's no pastor without a people. And so I am grateful to be your pastor. And today, as we mark 30 years and we're in this teaching series called Legacy, and today's sermon title is Two Words. And no, it's not the end. I see some of you are quick, and you were thinking, okay, and now let's all go home. That's it for, that's not the first two. I'm counting on the fact that today is not indeed the end. And as you will have appropriately guessed, I have far more than just two words to say about this 30th anniversary of having been called by First Baptist Church of Wheaton, which then moved to Alney and became Streams of Hope Church, which then came at the gracious welcome of First Baptist Church of Gaithersburg to meet down the hall, which then began a conversation about a merger, which has resulted in the birth of Pathways. I am honored to have been on that journey with some of you for 30 full years, with some of you for 6 years or so now as Pathways, and some for a little less if you've joined since Pathways was created. There is, by the way, these folks joining today, there is no greater joy for a pastor than when someone gets baptized, when someone comes to faith in Jesus, or when somebody joins the local fellowship. So thank you for giving me that great gift today on my 30th anniversary. There's no part of this service that I would say I can't do without that more than those two. So thank you so much for that gift today. And I say thank you. There's another two words. So far we've got the end and we've got thank you for the privilege of being your pastor. And having mentioned that some have been with me for a long time, I want to give a special shout out to some folks who have been around a very long time. Those of you who've been here on a somewhat regular basis the past 5 or 6 years, more than one occasion I have pointed out Marie Satterwhite, who usually sits right back there at the back corner. Marie was a founding member of First Baptist Church of Wheaton. That was founded in 1949, friends, for those of you who are keeping track. That's a long time ago. We joke that she's been a charter member of three churches, First Baptist Church of Wheaton, Streams of Hope Church, and Pathways Baptist Church, and she never moved her membership. She helped really with all three, and what a blessing she has been. And just in recent days, physical challenges and other issues have created it difficulty for her to attend. But even during the pandemic, she was here more than once. She was here easily a half dozen times or so at a time of great difficulty. So I appreciate her so much. Just want to give her a shout out. She's the last remaining original member for those who come from that strain of the family. So I'm so, so grateful for that. But she's not the only one who preceded me at First Baptist Wheaton who are still among us. As a matter of fact, last Sunday after church, I was standing out in the lobby. I experienced a somewhat surreal moment. Sherry Spritzer was standing there beside me, and Sherry's not here today. She's with her daughter at a graduation kind of experience. But I'm standing there beside Sherry. We're talking, and Felix Blackwood, who's right over here, walks up beside me. And then I notice that on this side, in a different conversation, but standing about 4 feet from me, is Francis de Oliveira. And all three of those folks were at First Baptist Church of Wheaton when I started there 30 years ago. I look out and I see Mary Strasner right here, Betty Thornby, who is not with us today, but she was there when I got there. I think, wow, who would have thunk it, as we say? Folks that you walk with for 30 years plus, thank you to all of you. And I really want to be fair. I'm just kind of curious. Are there any folks in the room from First Baptist Gaithersburg who were here in 1991? Anybody? Amen, amen, amen. Fantastic. Well, then I consider you to have been present as well, and I am just as honored to still have you here 30 years later. What a blessing to be able to not only give a long-term commitment, because folks, 30 years, it's half my life. I've been married 33. I've been almost as long married to you all as I've been married to Mary Beth. It's a lot of commitment on my part, sure, and I appreciate the honor today, but the fact is, without folks like you who have done the same, it just doesn't matter as much. So, you know, thank you so much. It is a privilege to work with people who not only know how to commit, but do so for the long term. So, let's move on in our message for today, because the Bible and the Lord of the Scriptures are really why we are here today. On the first Sunday of this legacy series back on May 2nd, I preached a sermon focused on six key Bible passages that have guided my life and ministry. And I cannot recommend to you all highly enough those very passages. If you were not here, if you want to watch that online, it's available to you. But maybe you have other ones, and that's okay. I feel pretty clear that's not everybody gets touched by the same exact verses. But memorizing those kinds of key passages that shape and guide your life and your ministry, it's such a blessing to know the Word of God in that way. Now, today what I'm going to do is slightly different but similar. Today I'm going to talk about some other what I believe to be biblical truths, but not so much verse by verse. I want to talk to you today about six life principles. Again, one for each decade, or you can look at it, two for each decade of pastoral ministry. That's up to you to choose. But I want to share six learnings, six observations that I believe are very worth passing along, which again have shaped my life. And so To my children by birth, when you watch this, I want you to pay close attention. To the children who are of the Spirit, as we say, the flock that I am privileged to pastor, I invite you to share in these next few minutes over some pretty, what I think is some pretty hard-won wisdom. Now, I know some of you are older than I am, and you have some to share too, and that's A-okay, but it's my 30th anniversary, so today I get to do that, and I'm going to do it with a series of six sayings, two words each. So if you're a note taker, it's not like you have to write down long sentences. If you get the six main points, they're two words each. I'm coming at this today based on a much known and beloved verse of the Bible, John chapter 14, verse 6. If you're a believer in Christ, you will have heard this many, many times. You can even say it with me if you'd like. Jesus said these words. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, you see, it's very interesting to me. I have discovered over all these years that I've been a Christian, both before and since I became a pastor, you can meet a lot of people who are interested in the abundant life, the eternal life that Jesus offers. It's the first two parts of that are the kicker. It's the way thing and the truth thing, because you see, you can only get the life that Jesus is talking about by knowing the truth about Jesus. He said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. If what you believe about him is not the truth, then you won't have the life. You understand me? So if you want the life, you got to have the truth. But I also want you to notice the first word, and that's the way. And evidently what Jesus was trying to say to us is not just any old way. It's the Jesus way. He said, I am the way. Now that means him as a person, but it also has to do with teaching us that there is a way of life that is Jesus-like, and there's a way of life that is not Jesus-like. To get the Jesus life, you have to believe the Jesus truth and live the Jesus way. That's why, for example, sometimes when we are working together as a church and somebody says, well, here's what we do at our work, and we'll say, you know what, I'm glad that works for you at work, but that is not really indicative of the Jesus life. So it may be a procedure, it may be a style thing, it may be something that works well for you, but it doesn't really fit with the work of the gospel. The way matters. It always matters. We have to be mindful of the way and the truth if we want the Jesus life. Takes me back to Isaiah 30, 21, the verse we used for that whole series in Deuteronomy that we just completed, right? This is the way. Walk ye in it. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. The principles I want to share with you in two words each will summarize basically the way I've tried to live for the past 30 years as your pastor, as I've tried to follow Jesus as a person and a pastor. They are not necessarily the same six principles that Pastor Paula or Pastor Jonathan might pick if they were up here preaching this message, but when they hit 30 years, they can do this, okay? I heard it said very recently, not every horse who wins the Preakness runs it the same way. There's truth. There are different ways, but they got to be the Jesus way within that context. So that reminds us that God has created each of us uniquely, but there are some things that we hold very much in common as well. So let's be very clear. Finishing our race well, winning our race, completing the course that God has laid out for us, as Paul would later write about in the scriptures, I've run the race, I've finished my course. It's an important piece to the puzzle, to the line of our lives. So let's get started on the two words. And there are lots of stories as background for all these that I'm just not going to be able to share with you today. If you want to have some fun conversations later, tell me, you say, Pastor, you know, you do mention this one. What would be an example of that? There are more than, after 30 years, there are more stories to tell than we have time for. Let's get started on the two words. Here's the first one, lifelong learner. I would just say that to everybody here. Never stop learning and growing. Just the very idea of this reminds us all of how much we still have to learn. Every day is another opportunity to learn more and draw closer. I remind you, we have a favorite verse from Philippians we love to quote when Paul said, I want to know him more. Talking about Jesus. And Paul, Apostle Paul, the guy who wrote most of the New Testament, he's almost at death. He doesn't have 10 years ahead of him when he wrote that. He says, my life is over. I'm done. But what does he say? I still want to know Jesus more. The fellowship of his sufferings, the power of his resurrection. There's always more and deeper to go with Jesus and in our lives as we follow him. If you want to do what you love doing, you need to keep growing and keep learning. You can't just stop. Not just in your area of expertise, but with people and understanding the journeys that people are on. And I put this lifelong learner there in part. This is especially true for Christians. And if you're a Sunday school teacher, a small group leader, if you're a parent, I want you to hear me say this part very clearly. It's not original with me. I've heard this in so many places I couldn't even know who to give credit to. But this is what we all have to recognize. You cannot give what you do not have. You cannot teach what you have not genuinely learned yourself. You cannot share what you have not come to own as part of who you are. You can't share it unless you've gone through that process. You've got to learn it. You've got to understand it. And it's funny, you know, when they put me in school and they made me get a high school degree and then they made me get a bachelor's degree and then I made the foolish, well, no, I had the calling, so I went to seminary and got a master's degree, and then I don't know what in the world came over me other than the Spirit of God that led me to say, put me in a PhD program and worked harder in those years than I'd worked in all the other years combined just to figure it out. And here's what I love. At the end, when they give it to you, they say, this is a terminal degree. You know what? They lied. Yeah. Or put it this way. If it's your terminal degree and that's what you stop with, you might as well be dead. Terminal in a different way. Because I don't care what your degree is, I don't care how high you climb in your area of expertise, life is about continuing to learn and to grow, especially for the Christian. And I'll just say this before I leave this point, and you do not need to worry about me thinking that now after 30 years, I believe I have reached my terminal degree in pastoring and knowledge of people. I'm fully aware of a number of shortcomings in my own life. If there are others that I'm missing, I'm sure you all will point them out to me. But one of my missionary heroes, Jim Elliott, who gave his life in service to the gospel, this is one of the things he wrote. Forgive me for being so ordinary while claiming to know so extraordinary a God. Keep on learning. Keep on growing your whole life long. We serve and we know an extraordinary God. Let's not be ordinary in our followership. The second principle with two words, and I'll ask the Boy Scouts to forgive me, but it's the two words, be prepared. Now that's always with a caveat because there are lots of surprises in life, but you can be prepared to take on surprises or not, right? It's all about your mindset and your preparation. But when I say be prepared, I really want you to understand hard times are coming. Now, you might think, Pastor, we just came through a pandemic. Yeah, I understand. I understand. And I'm glad to be putting it in the rearview mirror. Can I just tell you, I am so glad that we're coming out of this. But I also know that that doesn't mean, well, so the rest of 2021, there's no hardship coming. There are people who lost family members during the pandemic and they haven't even been able to have a gathering of family to remember. There are people who lost somebody the year before that and they've not been able to have ongoing meetings with family to try to deal with the sense of loss. Folks, there's hard times coming. You have to prepare yourself for those occasions when You will suffer, when you will fail, when you will fall into doubt, when you will have to deal with conflict, when you will experience loss. Now, as you might expect in a legacy series, when I'm talking about being over 60 years old, I'm very aware that age and death come to everybody. You know, part of the trick of this phase of life that I'm in, they keep saying to me, you got to figure out, you know, retirement and or enjoying life before you get too old to enjoy it. Right? This is the constant theme of everything targeted at my age group. It's a really exciting piece of word to hear every day. But the fact is, there comes a time when all of us have to prepare for these kinds of shifts, when you relinquish a title. The first picture I saw pop up when they were running the historical pictures of my pastorate was when Dr. Morrison stood with me on the day that I accepted the call into First Baptist Wheaton. Now, if you're not from that group, you might not know this, but Dr. Morrison was the only other pastor in the history of that church. He pastored it for 40 years, and I pastored it for 20 before we left there. I mean, two pastors in 60 years. And don't you know, when he passed the mantle to me, he had to have all kinds of feelings about that. We had a great relationship. But you know, there are all kinds of feelings about that. And you know what? My day is coming. It's not far off, right? Some of you who've retired recently, you know what that's like. It's tough to let go of your baby, of the things that you've given your life to. And then you start to realize, one of my dear friends said, you know, the older I get, the fewer friends I got, because the friends they had lived were passing away. I'll never forget when my parents stopped going to their high school reunion, because there were only like five of them left, and they just didn't want to gather anymore. They were in their 80s. They were done. You know, and it's just one of those things that happens. It comes to all of us eventually. Listen, some of you are very respectable people. Some of you are amazing people. Some of you, I'm watching yesterday, I don't know how many of you are on Facebook, but Bob Bushman, one of our elders, up in a zero gravity airplane yesterday, you know, floating around like he's an astronaut, because at his age, he has nothing better to know. But because he's still learning and growing and excited about life. And somebody who worked with satellites and rockets and all that kind of stuff throughout their career. What a great way to mark this phase of his life. But you know what? One day he, one day I, one day you, we will all slip into obscurity. It'll all be done. It'll all be done. We got to be prepared. Prepared for the changes that will come. And so, you know, sometimes you want to say, what kind of old person do I want to be? Well, you'll be the kind of old person you prepare to be. So if you don't want to be that way, we used to joke about it, right? I don't want to be like that. Then don't be that way. Grow to be a different person. Prepare for it. You know that disappointments are coming. Everything you dreamed of is not coming true for you. Prepare yourself. Grow in the Word. Grow closer to Christ. Develop brothers and sisters who walk with you in life who can help you get through those struggles. Spiritual struggles. You know what? Satan sometimes wins a battle, but he doesn't win the war. You got to have people to walk with you and encourage you through those battles. So, in the spirit of the Brits, I'll say this. Trust God and be prepared. All right? Trust God and be prepared. My third principle for you would be this. A little more practical, this one. Live modestly. Live modestly. This has to do with stewardship, which is understanding that God owns everything and we are just entrusted with resources for a brief time. And those of you who know me well know that stewardship is one of the key motifs, one of the guiding principles of my personal life and my pastoral leadership life. I'm not afraid of asking people to give to something that God has led us to. I'm not afraid to give to it myself and to give behind the scenes when God opens doors. I'm not afraid of wise spending, and I'm not afraid of saying no or not yet when the spending is not right. You have to remember that money is just one of the resources, along with our time and our talents, that God has entrusted to us. Live modestly, do well with what he's given you, because God is generous. You don't have to live as a pauper, But you should avoid the traps of pursuing too much stuff in this world. So I'll give you just a few things that guide me in this. Stay free of debt. Be generous to causes that can make a difference for others. Develop a financial strategy for your future. You young people, you got to start planning now. Be wary. Here's a stewardship thought. Be wary of people who try to buy your favor. I've encountered those in my personal life and in my pastoral life. These are all just principles that come. When you live modestly, those things don't control you. You are living into the life that is the way of Jesus, and He's guiding you, not financial things. I do know this. I know that pastors, the way you handle your own money is one of the ways your congregation evaluates you, judges you. And so you have to be wise. And I'll say that for our leaders. When we choose elders, we say, how do you handle the resources that God has entrusted to you? It's a fair question. So understanding stewardship. I was talking with one of our deacons this week, and he reminded me of one of my favorite sayings. Again, I don't remember the first place I heard it. He didn't remember the first place he heard it. But we both heard Ramsey say it. But don't spend money you don't have to buy things you don't need, to impress people you don't even know. And that economic advice right there, live modestly. One of my favorite passages in the Bible, if you're a note taker, jot this one down. 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Don't you love that verse? What God gives you, He wants you to enjoy. You don't have to feel guilty about that. But, He says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds. You see, that's so much more important than money. To be generous and willing to share. And in this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. Right? You lay up your treasure in heaven so that you may take hold of the life that is truly life. I love that passage. I strongly commend it to you. A great principle for life. Let's look at number four real quick. I call this one the twin imposters. Some of you may already be knowing where I'm heading with this. It's kind of talking about compliments and criticism, praise and criticism. Avoid the whining and the complaining and the self-pity from those things. You have to learn that the praise and the criticism are both imposters. Neither one are reality. So, you got to learn to take it all with a grain of salt. In every conversation, even if you're criticized, you have to learn that there's probably something you can learn there, some grain of truth about how you're communicating, about how you're coming across, about you, your work. It's considered a gift from God to you to help you see what's going on in your life. This is one of those places where I'm not going to tell the stories, right? Because there are some stories that shock me, and there are stories of such good things that I didn't deserve on the praise and the criticism end. So I decided I would do something I don't normally do in the pulpit. I'm going to read to you a poem. It's the poem If by Rudyard Kipling, and some of you know where I'm going with this. It's where I found these two words, two imposters. If you can keep your head when all those about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies. Or being hated, don't give way to hating. And yet don't look too good nor look too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master. If you can think and not make thoughts your aim. If you can meet with triumph and disaster, and treat those two imposters just the same. And it goes on. Rudyard Kipling, I highly recommend it to you, the poem If. Triumph and disaster, he mentions. Victory and defeat. Praise and criticism. Now, from my perspective as a pastor, you know, his reference to triumph and disaster is pretty much all of these things, these two parameters. They're true for pastors, they're true for all human beings. Spouses, maybe you know the struggle of living between these two imposters. They are not entirely the truth. Don't lean too much on either one, not all the praise or all the criticism that comes your way. They're imposters, the twin imposters, the two imposters of reality. Number five, very quickly, healthy relationships. This may be the second most important. I didn't really put these in any order, but this is really, really important. Healthy relationships absolutely requires honesty, integrity. It requires some humility, some transparency. One way philosophers have put it, this is about knowing and being known, right? Being in healthy relationships with other people. And Gordon MacDonald, who's one of my heroes in the ministry, he said there are five inner core transactions in all relationships. None of these can be missing if you would like to have a healthy relationship. So here's what he says they are. Five little sayings. Here we go. Number one, thank you. Thank you. Number two, well done. Know how to praise somebody else. Number three, you have to be able to say, I'm sorry. If you can't do that, you're not going to find yourself in healthy relationships. You have to be able to say, I forgive you. Boy, that one sets a lot of folks back. And number five, how can I help? The offer of bridge building, of assistance, of caring. These five core inner transactions, to be able to express these things, these statements are key to healthy relationship with others. And it's important, folks, because you see, you need those healthy relationships with others to be in a healthy relationship with God. Sometimes we throw around the word mentors, and people get spooked by that. They all, oh, I have to ask somebody and officially make them my mentor, and they have to know they're my mentor. Gordon MacDonald says, you ought to have at least 100 mentors over your lifetime. And some of them might be somebody you take to lunch every other month for 1 year. It might just be six conversations, but you learn something from them. Who are the people who are coaching you and helping you grow? And on this day of legacy, can I just speak to the two most important groups in our church? Includes everybody, of course. If you're younger, seek out the wisdom of the older. One senior citizen said this to me at one time. I feel it sometimes. He said this, you know, as I got older, I realized I was beginning to come up with some answers to the questions of life that had so long stumped me. And just about the same time, I realized nobody was asking my opinion anymore. And that's what happens. So if you have an older person of faith in your family or in this church family, learn from them. And then the second group is, if you're older, learn to listen to the younger, okay? Learn to listen to the younger. Seek them out. Have you done everything you can to pass along God's deeds, the celebration of God's work to the next generation? Just like Moses taught Joshua, Elijah taught Elisha, Naomi taught Ruth, Elizabeth mentored Mary. I mean, just go on and on. Paul and Barnabas and Silas and the whole crowd. Listen, before you pass on, make sure you pass it on. What God has taught you, what you have learned. And so when Jonathan stands up here and says, I want you to be able to pray for the students. When Jonathan says, I'd like to connect you to a student as a prayer partner for 6 months, a year. Seize those opportunities. All right, last one. I know our time's about done. I did save the most important for last. And the last is simply this, Jesus first. Jesus first. It's not me first. It's not my dreams first. It's not the church first. Listen, it's not America first. It's not Baptist first. It's Jesus first. Jesus first. Go to the cross. Some of the songs we sang today, the lyrics were amazing. You come to the cross of Jesus Christ regularly. That reminds you of who he is, what he has done, and who you are. Nothing I could recommend more. Express your appreciation to Him. Confess your sins to Him. Pray for the world. Listen to His calling to do something that is bigger than you. Learn to say, not my will, but thine be done. Remember Paul's encouragement, whatsoever you do, do it as unto the Lord. This point eclipses all the others I have shared today. Jesus first. Well, that's the six, folks. Now we come to the end, the two words you've probably been longing to hear. Now, I just want to challenge you at this point. What if you were standing up here today? What if it was you given the chance to share your life wisdom and your life experience? So as the praise team comes up to do our closing song, I want you to reflect on that. What would you say? What would your last words, your legacy words be if this was your chance to share them? How would you express your core philosophy of living for God? Because if you don't know it, there's a good chance nobody else does either. You need to reflect on what God has called you to do, who God has called you to be, and live into that. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12 says this, wisdom preserves the life of its possessors. Wisdom preserves the life of its possessors. You and I need wisdom, skill in everyday living according to biblical principles if we want to leave a good legacy. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to you for these 30 years of walking together. May God richly bless us in all the days we have remaining. Amen.